Rising to the top with A to Z Sports quicker than any Titans reporter in town. He's impressed us enough to give him his own show. It's Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone.
You ready, mate?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Man, you know, it is that time here on a Wednesday, 104.5 The Zone. Jonathan Schaefer, God love this man out here pulling double duty to make this thing happen on day one for you, boy. If you don't know who I am, I'm Buck Rising. And Schaefer, I think this is going to be my show.
You have your own show.
I think I have my own show. It is going to be self-involved. It is going to be probably a little too smug, but I'm so happy to be here with you guys. I'm happy to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone family. I'm happy that The Zone and A to Z are letting me do both of the things that I love for both of those platforms. And you know we're going to give you all kinds of great content across the board. And it starts today. Today is day number one. We are going to have, coming up, Jason Fitz of ESPN. Jason Fitz is a sports commentator, but Fitzy knows every bit of the ins and outs of the music industry, and the CMA Fest got canceled yesterday. We got a lot to talk about with Fitz. We got Titans GM John Robinson. He's going to be headlining at about 12 o'clock or thereabouts. We got a lot of offseason questions for the big man up top with the Tennessee Titans, and then Will Compton is probably going to come in here and bog down the proceedings. But he's got a lot of cool stuff going with Bussin' with the Boys. And I know that Will is going to want to, you probably won't want to give me too much credit for everything that's going on for your boy today. But I think that we're going to have a good time with Compton coming up. So, like Schaefer, I've been thinking about this for a long time, okay? Because what the people don't know, outside of the Tennessee and trying to blow my cover, which ended up being good PR. I feel like, you know, you crowdsource a little bit. Now, it wasn't me put it out there. I was very upset. It put me into a panic mode. My face is all manner of broken out for like this last 7 weeks because I have been under an incredible amount of stress.
I mean, your face is a little puffy.
It's not great today. And I brought in, which thank God this is radio. I brought in my eye masks, though. If I need a little decompress in a break, I can put them on. Okay. I can zen out. I can namaste. I even got a mani-pedi before I came in. I'm feeling very good. I'm very relaxed, but I've been like, you're never supposed to rehearse these things. And by the way, if you want to get in on the conversation, 615-737-1045 is how you hit us up here on The Zone. Again, 615-737-1045. We'll be riding with you from 10 to 1 weekdays from here on out. It's a beautiful thing. But I've been thinking about this for a long time because it has been something that I have wanted for a very long time. And it has been something that's been in the works, I kid you not, for 7 weeks. For 7 weeks, we have been trying to figure out the best possible way to make this show work. And I promise you it's not going to be all about all self-involved off the top. We got a lot of sports stuff to talk about. Everybody's pissed at J.J. Watt. We're going to address that. The Isaiah Wilson thing continues to linger over St. Thomas Sports Park like a bad smell. That is going to be addressed later on in the program. There is a very, very interesting thing that's happening in the NFL right now, by the way, with all of the massive contracts that are being disposed of by NFL teams, and I really, really think it's going to set the Titans up well, and teams like the Titans, to try to build a contender no matter what COVID is restricting them from doing with all of the financial stuff that is still largely up in the air, but we got to get self-involved first. So, Schaefer, I've been damn near rehearsing like how I was going to open this. I'm literally pacing in my house. I'm talking to nobody but the cats in my house. I have two kittens, if you don't know, Leo and Frankie. They are, it's kind of sad, you know, the more that I say it out loud. I have two cat kids. My girlfriend lives not with me, so it's just me and the cats in the house. And
that's the best decision she's made.
I'm saying, like, it's like she treats my house like a petting zoo. Like, she says she wants to come over and hang out with the cats because the cats are there because she wanted them there. And that's fine. They're okay. They could be worse.
Well, you didn't get her a puppy.
I didn't get her a puppy, and she's not going to get a puppy. I'm sorry. This is, I love you. She's listening. She's the best in the world. She is incredibly supportive, and honestly, outside of my agent and everybody from A to Z Sports and 104.5 The Zone that tried to put this thing together, this woman has suffered enough because she's been having to deal with me. Okay? And so I've been pacing up and back and forth in my home trying to figure out what I wanted the first show to sound like. And I just come down with, you know, just shut up and talk sports, dummy. Like, that's all you got to do. And so we want you guys in on the conversation. If you have questions for me, I am at your disposal. It is me and just me outside of the friends and family, because I consider all of you listening, all of my internet people, all of you to be a part of this family, just like J. Martin Ramon in the morning, just like Blaine and Mickey after this, just like 3HL at the end of the day. It's a strong lineup, and I'm hoping that, you know, I don't foul things up in the meantime. How am I doing so far?
I think you're doing great.
615-737-1045. Okay, things are going to get spicy off the top. By the way, Jason Fitz coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk about the cancellation of the CMA Fest and what that's doing to the music industry here locally, because I think that's a big part of it's not technically sports, but I think CMA really laid the template for things that we get to host here in Nashville, like the NFL draft, like the Stanley Cup Finals. I think all of that is very, very important to the community. And I'm going to try to take this first call, 615-737-1045. I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit the right button. This is my first time working the phone. So Mike in Bellevue wants to call me out on day one. What's up, Mike?
Man, I was all happy for you. I called in earlier, came up with the name What the Buck. And now, what the buck? You're saying Manny Petty? Look, that's cool if you do it, but that's what women call it. Men call it a manicure and a pedicure. Well, good luck, but step up your game, my man.
Listen, I have no shame about the Manny Petty treatment. Like, you know, why do women have to have these specific terms assigned to them? Why can't I use them? I thought this is the year of 2021. Everybody is accepting of everything and everybody. Why do I have to stick to certain terms? And by the way, if you don't get pedicures and manicures, that's okay. I just think differently of you because you know, you're clearly not taking care of yourself. The first thing that I look at somebody or think about somebody is, do they take care of their feet? I really think that's the biggest tell about anybody is, do they take care of their feet? I think that's something that's crucial for professional athletes. Has anybody ever seen Shaq's feet? Like, the pictures that he tweets out of those just deformed chicken nuggets on his toes are absolutely, you know, they bother me. They bother me deeply. And I'm not a professional basketball player, obviously. I'm a professional gas bag. But I do fear that my feet will one day look like that. And so in the meantime, I'm going to do everything. And I'm pretty sure it's a tax write-off for me, which I probably shouldn't say out loud. The IRS is going to come for me.
Well, it's not now.
615-737-1045. So what we're going to do today, and here's the place that I think to start, because people are really, really upset with J.J. Watt. We all know that he ended up in Arizona. It was off the top. I don't know how many of the people saw my tweet, source me, playing off of J.J. Watt's deadlift announcement that he wanted to break his own news, and that's the industry that I guess everybody wants to be in now. Everybody's got a Twitter. Everybody's got an Instagram. Everybody wants to break their own news. So I put this out, and it got me thinking about all the dumb stuff that J.J. Watt is doing. And it's not just that he picked the wrong team. Like, it's not that just that J.J. Watt went against everything that he has stated about what he wants to do as a professional athlete at this stage in his career to try and go win a Super Bowl. It's not just that J.J. Watt is the corniest of all cornballs, and that's fine to say because he's not somebody that I have to cover now. By the way, the Titans coverage around here, it's going to be great. We're going to do Titans, we're going to do Vols, we're going to do Preds, we're going to do all the things that you guys care about. And if you have suggestions, we're wide open to it. I'm a clean slate here from 10 to 1, and we want your participation, your involvement, your creativity will be rewarded on this show. But the thing with J.J. Watt, like, I was watching his media. I wasn't watching his media availability, but I was paying close attention to it because I wanted to see if he would bring up anything about other teams. And by the way, we'll talk to John Robinson, Titans GM, and see, you know, how much he's willing to divulge about just how close they got in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes before he opted for Arizona. But the thing that cracks me up about J.J. Watt is that he is chief cheeseball, he is chief cornball, and yes, he's still a good player, like all of these things are so. But I'm laughing at the media that's live-tweeting the first J.J. Watt press availability, because all of the quotes that are coming out are about, yes, I went out of my way to text Kyler Murray. That's lovely, of course. You should do that. Your teammates... My new teammates on 104.5 The Zone were very, very quick to send me messages like that when they got wind that this was going to be happening from 10 to 1, you know, 5 days a week. God help us. But the thing with J.J. Watt is that I'm just laughing so hard, Schaefer, at all of the corny tweets that are coming out from the Arizona media, and then a rare moment of self-reflection, of transparency. Because if J.J. Watt had ended up as a Tennessee Titan, it would have been me tweeting out these terribly corny things.
Self-awareness is important.
It rarely hits me like that. But that's something that J.J. Watt seems to lack. Or maybe it's too self-aware. Like, it's one of the extremes. I can't figure it out. Because this man has made it clear and obvious to everybody that he wants to win a Super Bowl, at least in the public perception. But my boy, your boy's taking an early retirement deal to go live in Arizona. Arizona, lovely, by the way. Like this, I look at this like kind of like college visits. Like it very, very much matters what time of year you're going to visit the college that you're looking at, the college campus that you're going to tour. You don't want to go. You don't want to go to where shall we say? I mean, Kentucky is miserable any time of the year, so that's probably not something that we should bring up, but like that's like going to where I'm from, Indiana. I'm a graduate of Indiana University. It's like going to Bloomington in the middle of winter when it's negative 12 and there's 6 feet of snow on the ground and you're having to walk to class. And then you go to ASU and you see everybody studying, maybe, air quotes, studying by the pool and hanging out in their bathing suits year-round. This is what happened to J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt went to Arizona in February and decided, you know what, this feels good on my 31-year-old body. This is going to feel good as I age. You know what, this is close to Los Angeles. I like to make commercials. Maybe I want to do a little LeBron James, Tom Brady. Maybe I want to start my own film stuff. Maybe I want to get into the movie production business. What J.J. Watt does and says are two entirely different things. And this is the thing that I think Titans fans are most upset about, because don't tell us as media, don't tell us as sports fans, don't tell us these things that you just think that people want to hear. What gives you away, JJ, what has given you away for the last 10 years of JJ Watt is that this man doesn't necessarily mean what he says. And that is a deal breaker for me, especially if you're older and you're kind of washed. All right, we got Jason Fitz coming up in the next segment. We're going to take your call, 615-737-1045. We got John Robinson, Titans GM, later in the show. We got Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys, and we'll see if he lands with an NFL team. I'm sure I'll give him some hell about that later on in the show, and we got a lot more football-related stuff to talk about, because I'm going to tell you how the Titans can build a contender despite what COVID is doing to this offseason. Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone, Jason Fitz coming up next.
I'm here because I believe in you.
Oh, Jonathan Schaefer gets me. Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone, day one, show one. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing. And so it's not just because this is the first show and our next guest is very, very important to not just me personally, but to my career. There is none of this without the man that we have on the line next, not to just give the kind of fiery takes that he is spitting on a regular basis on ESPN, but to inform us about what's going on in the music industry right now with the announcement made by the city of Nashville and the CMAs that CMA Fest, for the second year in a row, will not take place. But we have a lot of time to talk to Fitzy, Jason Fitz of ESPN, about that. Let's bring him in. Fitzy, you're beautiful. I love you. Thank you for doing the first show. Oh, Fitzy not on the line? Did I hang up on him?
Should be there.
I cannot hear Jason Fitz. So perhaps there's...
Okay, wait. Okay, that's on me. I got it figured out now. I got questions for you. It starts with, are we sure there's not another Buck Rising in the city of Nashville somewhere? Like, are we sure they knew they were getting you for this?
Yes. In fact, I've made certain that there is no other Buck Risings within 60 miles of the area. Like, I'm pretty sure I copyrighted that name when when we came up with it creatively one drunken night in college.
I also am a little curious why anybody playing Jungle Boogie would suddenly be somebody to get you. That's another layered conversation. You're like, there's just so much to this. Are we sure, like, this is day one? And by the way, I'm so stinking proud of you, and you have everything you have because you worked your tail off for it. You are going to be a delight in Nashville. This is a great, great, great moment for you, but it's also going to be great for sports talk. I remember my first day on air when I sat there afterwards and thought, holy cow, I can't believe I just did that. I hope you take the time to do the same today. because you should. You've accomplished a lot to get here. I'm really stinking proud of you. Don't know how you did it, but I'm still stinking proud of you.
Bribes. Bribes is how I've done it. Bribes and shadiness is how I've done it. It's the only way to get anything done.
A library of naked pictures of people somewhere. That's all I can figure out.
Hey, listen, beware the cloud, buddy. It's coming for you one day, too. No, listen, Fitzy, all of that is incredibly kind. And, of course, Jason Fitz of ESPN is here to talk sports, music, and everything in between. And I hope that Fitzy will join us semi-regularly when he's not too busy, you know, just thriving across ESPN's platforms. But, you know, it's really something. Schaefer and I talked about this. I've had a lot of very kind texts, tweets, everything. And, by the way, if you're sending me stuff, I very much appreciate it. I haven't had a chance to get to all of it yet, but I'm sure I will have time because I really haven't had time,
Fitzy.
You know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for me. I get the humble brag today. Every other day, you know, piss off with me. But it's really something that I haven't had time to decompress and like figure out. Oh, I got a radio show.
Yeah, just take a minute when the whole thing's done. There's been several different points in this radio career for me where I've just stopped and looked around and thought, holy, you know what, I can't believe that just happened, and today's one of them for you, dude. So, like, afterwards, after the whole thing's done, you know, pour a glass of something super healthy and take good care of yourself, but also have a moment to celebrate.
Amen. Well, let's first have our moment together because you're the first guest on the first show, and you have something very important to talk about. There's plenty of sports going to be talked about over the next, you know, 2.5 hours and change that we have, and this actually, I think, affects the sports community too, Fitzy. What came down yesterday from the CMAs here in Nashville is that for the second year in a row, due to ongoing COVID-19 concerns and the pandemic and everything that's looming large, and hopefully things start to get better as more vaccines get distributed. But the dates 9th through the 12th this June, it's canceled. And this is something that I think is of great import to Nashville as a city, to Nashville's profile as a city, because I think that that Butch Spiridon and all of the people here in Nashville who are responsible for organizing these kinds of things, like when it comes to sports, CMA Fest has always been the template. And I wonder from your perspective, because obviously you have a long and storied career in the music industry prior to you becoming a sports talk gas bag, I wonder from your perspective and from people you talk to in the music industry, how exactly this is hitting home.
I mean, where this hits most, honestly, is on young acts or middle of the road acts are having some rise, because you know what's happened right now is that streaming of music has done really well still because everybody's at home streaming, and you know people are putting albums out, but artists aren't really making a lot of trajectory or a lot of cash doing it. So the CMA Fest isn't a money maker for any artist, but it's an opportunity maker. So what you have right now are a lot of people that are looking at this saying, man, if there's no CMA Fest, that takes away one of the bigger networking opportunities, one of the bigger fan building opportunities, one of the bigger profile opportunities, not to mention just the festival, but the ABC special that comes along with it. I mean, how many people are introduced to that music because of it, right? So from that standpoint, there's a lot of bad that comes from it, for actual impact to everybody. And then think of all the band guys, the crew guys. I mean, you got a lot of people that are looking around right now trying to figure out what their summer is going to look like, if they're going to get to tour, if they're going to get to make money. And you know, for all of the people out there that have made millions of dollars that are household names, they've got a crew of, you know, 50, 60, 70 people that rely on that every single year to make their money. And the indicator is going to be simple here. Like, no CMA Fest is going to bring a lot of people to think, well, what's that mean for the fairs and festival circuit, which is such a big part of how people make money. So I think it's a huge punch in the gut to everybody. And, you know, for football fans and everybody that's listening that's a sports fan, you got to look at the more of these things that go away, the more nervous you get about the fall, because realistically, we hope that Major League Baseball can have some success. We can get, you know, sort of a pattern for people being there. But huge events being canceled is only going to lead to more huge events being canceled. Until somebody actually puts one on successfully, everybody's going to be nervous.
And that there's a variety of different things that you've just laid out for the public and for me. But the thing that I come back to, just across music, sports, all of these things that are affected by COVID-19, and we're all affected by COVID-19, of course. This has been over a year at this point. 2020 was an absolute hellscape, and we hope that 2021 will start to improve, but we're not quite there yet. What you brought up there about networking for country music artists, up-and-comers in the industry, and the ability to go play the stage at the Riverfront, if not the main event at Nissan Stadium for CMAs, the ability to meet people from the music industry who come in from all over the world for this particular event, not just the country, but the world, your opportunity to be seen, heard, meet with these people. I go back to stuff like the Indianapolis Scouting Combine for the NFL that got canceled this year. And they have a terrible situation with the Tennessee Titans here in Nashville with their first-round pick that, for whatever reason, something fell through Isaiah Wilson in the scouting process, in the due diligence process, and all of it because everything went virtual automatically and nobody knew what the hell to do. And so from that standpoint, I just think that I guess the question is how many people are being – like, what is the lasting impact? I don't know if that's a question that you have the answer to. I don't know if that's a question that any of us have the answer to. But, like, I don't think we're going to see the true effects of what has happened to us over the last year and a half, or year plus at this point with music, sports, and everything else. What do you think the lasting impact of something like this being canceled will be on the music and entertainment industry?
I think musically, you start to look at what it means for careers that were trying to get a little momentum. And, you know, the fact is, what's great about CMA Fest is fans from everywhere come into one spot. So you really get a chance to do a showcase for fans, but also for buyers and bigwigs all over the place. You can really grow a fan base by playing the River Stage, for example. Like, there is some truth to that for everybody. So, you know, if you're an artist and you're trying to grow a fan base, you just lost a lot of momentum. What's going to happen when the world opens back up is some of those acts that, you know, have been sort of treading water that were trying to have their big break. You know, people forget how many records Luke Bryan had out before he was finally a household name, right? So if you're one of those acts that was sort of in between trying to really take that next level, you've lost all momentum. And that momentum comes largely in country from getting out in front of people, you know, meet and greets and doing large concerts and hanging out with radio programmers. Like, those are all things that affect and impact the way you build your fan base. So, you know, much like I think that what we're going to see realistically in the NFL is a 3 to 5 year trickle down effect from the impact of the scouting combine. I think you're looking at a 3 to 5 year impact once we're reopened, you know, not to mention the number of great, talented people that have flat out, you know, left town that, you know, have gone out and found different jobs because, you know, it's the sort of the secret in Nashville that so many people don't understand is that if you're, you know, the guitar player for a huge household name, just because you're that guitar player doesn't mean you're making even decent money. So, you know, how do you support your family? It's been something that a lot of my friends have tried to figure out in the last year and a half. So no easy answer to that. So that's why I think you're going to see a whole different pool rise whenever everything reopens, because I'm not sure there were a lot of people in the middle of this pack that could sustain. So that's the lasting effect. Just like in football, it's a 3 to 5 year plan.
So from that talking point, I guess, Fitzy is not just a musical expert. He is all over ESPN, gasbagging on all manner of different subjects. And, of course, he's talking regularly about the things that are happening in the NFL, baseball getting ready to start back up with spring training. We still don't know exactly what March Madness is going to look like, although that is coming very, very soon upon us. But for the sake of the audience and the thing that they care most about, it's football, football, football. It's the only thing that really resonates here in Nashville, whether that be the local professional football team, the Tennessee Titans, or the Vols. Fitzy, if you are going into NFL free agency, because of course you're a noted Raiders homer, you are all over free agency, you're very, very sad because Marcus Mariota is going to probably be your starting quarterback at some point in the near future, and everybody listening to this radio station understands what a you know, periodic suffering that can be. If you are an NFL general manager, Fitzy, how are you approaching the roster construction of this offseason? Because that's, I think, a big question that I'm going to ask John Robinson, Titans GM, coming up at 12:03, is really, does this affect the way that you would build outside of any normal year?
Yeah, 1,000% it would to me. And, you know, I can't wait to hear what John has to say about it, because I'm telling you now, if I was the GM of any football team and I was picking in the back half of the first draft, I would give anything to trade out of it. And that's why you're seeing a lot of teams that are trying to trade down. I see very little positive in the opportunity to go out and pick somebody when you haven't had the normal process to go through picking somebody. I'd rather right now, as a GM, if I were running a team, I'd rather overspend on a short-term contract that gives me something I know I have but I'm not locked into for a lot of years. I'd rather wiggle everything around, do short-term deals, and wait until the draft to give me the opportunity to really get in and get to know somebody, because there is value. And everybody tells you that the scouting combine isn't just about the 40. It's about the interviews. It's about the opportunity to sit with kids one-on-one, and it's about the medical tests. So as much as we can get those medical tests done from other doctors, they can still run at their pro day. There's a difference between that and being put through the grind of what the scouting combine is. And you know, jobs are based on how well you draft. It's security for you for years moving forward. So if I, like, as a Raiders fan, if I found out tomorrow that the Raiders traded out of the first round and didn't take a pick at all this year in the first round, I'd do cartwheels, because I think everything is more of a roll of a dice than ever this year in the first round of the draft. There's just no way I would touch it. And if I'm looking at free agency, for the player's sake and for the GM's sake, I want to take a short deal with a blast of money, because we know that the salary cap's likely to rise again in a couple of years. So give me the opportunity to build short, and I'll worry about long-term next year.
God, I could not agree more with that statement. I think this year more than any other year, and Schaefer, if we could put that out on a poll at Buck Rising on Twitter, would you rather have draft capital this year or proven players in this NFL season? Would you rather have draft capital or proven players in the year of the Rona 2021 as you're building an NFL roster? Because I think that is going to resonate with so many different teams after what you just saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. Jason Fitz of ESPN with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Fitzy, am I wrong to think that J.J. Watt is all things fraud?
Yeah, you're wrong. He's going to be fine. I mean, he had a good year last year considering how trash that defense was. He can play inside and he can play outside. He's going to go to Arizona and he's going to play really well. I mean, is he overpaid? Yeah, he's a little overpaid, but realistically overpaid versus what? I mean, if you're the Cardinals and you feel like you need J.J. opposite Chandler Jones to give you a better pass rush, and all of a sudden you think it's going to make you better, but you have to pay him an extra $3 or $4 million. I love how we get obsessed over contract values being too high without realizing that, let's face it, in a year where the salary cap is $30 million this year less than they expected and teams are still going to be fine, like, you can work around anything you want when it comes to salary. So why not? If you think he's a missing piece, why not pay him? He's going to have a good year this year. I don't know that I'd give him, you know, I don't think he's going to be necessarily epic for the next 2 years, but I feel like J.J.'s going to go out. He's going to put up 9-10 sacks. He's going to be part of the Cardinals team that gets a lot of hype, and he'll be just fine. Like, does it mean that the Titans suddenly stink because they didn't get him? No, but I have no problem with the Cardinals overpaying him.
Oh, God, I hate all things J.J. Watt right now. I really do, and it's nothing against him.
You hate nice things. You just hate nice things. You know, like, I could bring you flowers and you'd be like, I don't like that color. That's part of your charm. Come on. Wait, how do you hate J.J.?
How do I hate J.J. Watt? Again, it's nothing personal. It's like how much I hated the way that Jonathan Joseph played quarterback last year for the Tennessee Titans. I can hate what you do on the field and it not be personal. But just the constant propaganda that J.J. Watt produces. And listen, if I'm not overly critical, what the hell am I doing in front of this microphone? Like, what good would I be if I loved everything? If I was just flowers and sunshine and roses and kittens now that I have two of them at my house? They have not done anything to soften me, Fitzy. I still hate J.J. Watt's PR.
Here's the one thing that I think that is a takeaway for the Titans for J.J. Watt. If they were a finalist in this entire process, and according to multiple reports, other teams offered more money than the Cardinals did, but he chose to go to Arizona. Either way you want to look at it, the one thing that is a takeaway is that J.J. Watt looked around and decided not to sign with Tennessee. Now, at some point, I was shocked to hear at least no reports of a handshake agreement with the Texans that said, hey, release me and I'll stay away from your division. Like, because that's a win-win for everybody. But I haven't heard that existed. I expected it would. So if that didn't exist, then J.J. went to another team that I don't think has a better chance at a Super Bowl. And one thing that we always get frustrated with in Nashville is, look, there's no state income tax here. There's a coach now that's a rock star everybody loves hanging on to. There's an offense that is absolutely explosive with an MVP caliber running back. Like, what better sales pitch could you possibly have? So at some point, the Titans do need to look at their sales pitch. If they were finalists in J.J. Watt in those sweepstakes and they wanted him, and he chose to go somewhere else, and the Titans need to look in the mirror and figure out how they're going to fix their sales pitch, because it's been a long time since we saw that guy say, you know what, I'm going to sign with Tennessee. That's where I want to play. And it makes no sense. Nashville is an it city in this country, so I don't know why they don't do a better job of getting big-name players to want to come here.
Everybody was naked in the streets when they signed Jadeveon Clowney because they did the thing that they're never able to pull off. But with J.J. Watt, not so much. And I'm sure we'll talk to Titans GM John Robinson about that coming up in the noon hour. Jason Fitz of ESPN, you can find him at Jason Fitz on the socials. He is doing all manner of exceptional work for the mothership, and he has brought it strong as the first guest on the first show here on 104.5 The Zone. Buddy, I love you. You're great. You brought it strong, and keep me in your thoughts as I try not to drive this thing into the ground for the next 2.5 hours.
look, if there's anything that's going to happen, you will drive it into the ground. I'm really, my thoughts and prayers are with Nashville, trying to figure out how to stay patient with you. But I am so proud, and I hope that you, I hope you stay fiery and angry through all of this. Don't let your late 20s be less angry than your early 20s were.
Listen, I'm 27 going on 65, but I think that's a good thing in sports talk radio. Jason Fitz, ESPN, here on 104.5 The Zone. Oh, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that man and all of the things that he's done to me. Just as I appreciate the man whispering into my ear as Fitzy is giving me all manner of compliments. Spot the lie, Jonathan Schaefer says. Don't think I'm going to let the people not see you slinking around back there behind the glass.
We do not care.
Yeah, we do not care. 615-737-1045. So Fitzy said a lot of interesting things about roster construction. Of course, we covered the CMAs and about why the Titans can't land big name free agents like JJ Watt. I want your opinion on all of those things. 615-737-1045. The poll is up as well at Buck Rising on Twitter. That's where we will be tweeting out all show related stuff from 10 to 1 here weekdays on 104.5 The Zone. By the way, this is my show. I'm Buck Rising and this is the first day. So you can vote on the poll there. Would you rather focus this offseason, if you're the Tennessee Titans, on draft capital or trying to find proven players? That's the thing that I think a lot of teams are asking themselves in the midst of the Rona offseason part deux, and we will talk about it with you coming up next. Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost is play on the field. I mean, it's tackles for loss, it's sacks, it's batted balls, it's going out there and making plays, changing the game, helping swing momentum, it's taking blockers off of other guys. Whatever I need to do from a playing standpoint, it's that. It's dominating. This isn't like a – it's dominating. That's what I'll say. And then from a leadership standpoint, I'm coming in here to try and help teach these young guys, to help show them, to help show them the way, to help – be an example for them to follow in terms of work, but also to cultivate the work they're already doing. I mean, I was in the weight room this morning, and there's a big group of guys in there lifting and wanting to get better and wanting to grow. I'm here to just help that. And if they have questions, if they want to learn anything, if there's anything that I can do to help lead them and take them to that next level, that's what I'm here to do. But make no mistake, I'm also here to go dominate on the field and help us win games.
That is Justin James Watt, American football player for the Arizona Cardinals, not the Tennessee Titans, as it so happens. Buck Rising here on 104.5 The Zone. Happy to have you here with us until 1 p.m. and Blaine and Mickey take over. J.J. Watt is a fascination for a great many reasons. Titans fans have hated him for the better part of a decade. He is somebody who would absolutely make your football team better, given all of the flaws that last year's Titans team so clearly and obviously had. Fundamentally flawed. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. I am going to talk a little bit about what Jason Fitz of ESPN just left us with. Several things, I think, good nuggets that Fitzy left us with about why the Titans, outside of Jadeveon Clowney, it's always been kind of a thing, at least in the last 5 years that I've been here, about how difficult it is for this particular NFL franchise to land big-name talent. And you can go to market size, you can go to all manner of excuses that you want to make, but sometimes there has to be a reason that one thing continues to happen to the same franchise over and over again. And listen, I'm not out here banging the table for J.J. Watt. Like, that's not me, okay? Like, I think you can do a lot more for the money that you would that would have cost you J.J. Watt. And by the way, for those interested, I did have a source that told me the Titans made a competitive offer to J.J. Watt, but it was not the kind of money that he was paid in Arizona. So if that kind of gives you an idea of where your favorite football team was in the running for this. I saw a tweet that I don't know what the veracity of it is, how close to true it is, that was tweeted out by a sports talk host in Arizona that said the Colts and the Browns both offered more money and the Titans were close to 15. That is not, in fact, the case, as is my understanding. We'll talk about J.J. Watt and why I think that is an issue for Titans, for the Titans and free agency. But first, we're going to get you involved in the conversation. 615-737-1045 is the number that you call. 615-737-1045. Joe in Nashville starts us off. He wants to talk about J-Rob. What's up, Joe?
Buck, congratulations. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that, Joe.
You so deserve it. We are fortunate that you are here.
And I'm glad to hear your platform grow. I wish you all the success and all the goodness. So J.J. Watt for me was Peyton Manning in that I hated him his whole career. It's weird to have somebody burn you the whole time and then suddenly in a position that they could make your team better. And so I was kind of rooting for that, not at that money. But so John Robinson to me is the most interesting character on this team this year, because I think the pressure, I wonder, tell me about your perception of pressure for him, because to me, where Derrick Henry is age-wise and stuff, though, who knows when that's going to slow down, but A.J. Brown just coming into his prime, like, we're at right the peak readiness. She's ready to go, Buck, but here's the thing, is like, to me, J-Rob needs to have the offseason, the home run offseason that he had in 19, and not the grounding into a double play that he had in 20, because 19 was awesome, 20 was gross. And I wonder, it's weird because from a fan perception sort of context, I think we feel like that he really needs to do well. To put this team in a position to take the next step. But I wonder with the relationship he seems to have with ownership, stuff like fixing the stadium and like the business stuff, is he potentially precarious or not? Because as far as they're concerned, they're still, you know, sans COVID, raking his money, I would think, and stuff, and the stadium's going to be, and he's going to be part of that. So I wonder the level of warmth that his seat could be. I think he's awesome, but I want him to have a good offseason. Thanks, brother. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks so much, Joe. We appreciate the call. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the program. So that's a fascinating thing to consider, because over the last 6 years of John Robinson, the Tennessee Titans have done nothing but win outside of the first year, right? We all know the struggles it was my first year here in Nashville. Marcus Mariota's rookie season, that they won three games. They had the first overall pick. They shopped it. The Rams took Jared Goff, and everybody sees how that played out. And the Titans did well to stock up with picks that were made on Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry. Of course, Kevin Dodd is involved in that as well, and you can't hit them all. But to Joe's question about where John Robinson is security-wise, consider this. What you have here in Nashville, Tennessee, at least for the first time, not the first time, because I feel like there were massive expectations heading into last season as well. Of course, there should have been. The Titans made the AFC Championship game. They were competitive. Derrick Henry was an absolute monster for them and helped carry them, helped really put them on the map. Like, you have a bona fide superstar in a way that for the longest time, hell, when I first got here, I didn't know who the owner of the Tennessee Titans was, because there was like six faceless names that kept being floated, and all of them sounded like characters on Succession. It's just the names of these people were ridiculous. Anyway, but what you have here in Nashville are people, fans, who want more out of their team, coming off an 11-5 season with an offense that scored 30.1 points per game and a defense that, yes, was absolutely atrocious, god-awful by any stretch of the imagination, shameful, the product that was put out on the field of the defensive side of the ball. The players felt that, the coaches felt that, the general manager felt that most of all, right? Because the offseason for him was largely a failure. I think the best thing that John Robinson did last year was trade Jarrell Casey at the time when Jarrell Casey could still be traded for actual draft capital. In fact, I think that's a damn good thing that John was able to pull off. But you're talking about a team that is in a position that it really hasn't been in for the last decade, where the expectations are high, the demands from the fans are high, and you expect to now compete for a Super Bowl. You should. The team has been constructed in a way that it is going to compete and should compete for a Super Bowl. But if you're asking me how warm John Robinson's seat is, you know, internally, not at all. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are a package deal. They are not under really any kind of serious scrutiny, other than John had a bad offseason. And Isaiah Wilson is a problem. Jadeveon Clowney is a problem. Vic Beasley is a problem. Jonathan Joseph is a problem. On and on the list goes. And you have to grade on a curve, right? Because COVID really wrecked things for a lot of people. But if you're asking me if John Robinson is feeling any kind of pressure internally, externally, you guys are bringing it strong. I see the tweets. I see the Instagrams. I see everything that you guys are saying about your team. But John Robinson is not in a position to where he is feeling pressure from within the organization, other than he knows he needs to do a good job this current offseason, because we're in the midst of it. We're starting the show at a great time. The free agency is about to kick off. I am going to be just drowning in NFL news, and I can't wait to cover it with you. 615-737-1045. We're through the first hour, and nothing bad happened. It's a miracle. Buck Rising first show.
Got Jonathan,
two more to go. There's plenty of time. Nick, Josh are on the line. If you want to get in on the conversation, we have a lot more to talk about, because I'm going to tell you how John Robinson needs to approach this offseason before, of course, we have the general manager on in the noon hour to answer some questions about what he's been doing this offseason across a great many topics. 615-737-1045 is the number. Buck Rising is the name. The station, 104.5 The Zone.